What is your sense of Bohm's current headspace, and do you still intend to play him tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, he's playing tomorrow. And I think he's in a good spot. He was just in there hitting in the cages and getting his work in. I'm not sure if he's going to hit on the field today or not. So, but, yeah, I think he's fine.
And will both Stott and Marsh sit tomorrow?
Oh, we'll see.
We'll see when that lineup comes out. Here's what we do know. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette. We know Alec Bohm is going to be back in there. 215-592-9494 to join us. Evan Roberts will from up in New York at 11:30. All your calls out there. The Phillies still in the driver's seat of the series. I can't believe how many people don't trust Dole today. I trust him. But Hugh, it's going to be interesting today to watch Alec Bohm. So Topper said yesterday Bohm will be back in there. Right? He'll start. He'll be at third base.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question, though, because I'm now starting to wonder about Alec Bohm's future. And let's just keep it short term, like the rest of this postseason run. We'll get to the offseason when we get there. But I'm just based on him taking him out after one game, based on how he's hit down the stretch of the season, I think Alec Bohm is and should be playing for his starting spot tonight. He's in against a lefty who usually hits lefties. If he goes out there tonight and goes 0-for-4 and he looks like he's about to cry and throw his helmet after every out, he does look like that a lot, then I don't think it's a lock he's starting moving forward. I think he's a day-to-day kind of guy, the way, you know, Sosa's a day-to-day guy and Stott's a day-to-day guy and Marsh's a day-to-day guy. I think he falls into that category again, unless in the Harper, Turner, Schwarber, Castellanos group that you know are going to play every day. Hugh, what do you think on this? As he said he's going to put him back in tonight, do you think he should be playing for his job tonight?
I don't think so, and it didn't sound like that. When Topper had that press conference and he mentioned him, it didn't sound to me like he was in any jeopardy of losing his day-to-day job. I look at him like this. It was a time where, was it him and Stott? They kind of carried the team. I think it was last year early in the season where they kind of were the guys that kind of were the catalyst for this team. So I don't think that he's a guy that you look at and say, okay, if he doesn't have a good series or he doesn't have a good outing tonight, that you're going to sit him down. I think he's considered the future of the squad.
I'm not sure about that anymore. And look, you're right about that. At one point he was hot, but then the same thing happened to Bryce's Stott. They lost confidence in him.
Yeah.
Sosa gets playing time over him now. I look at it like this. Has Alec Bohm really gotten that much better, or did he have a great month and a half to start the season? Look at Alec Bohm's numbers since the middle of May. He has not hit well. I mean, since the end of August, he's hitting .238. You go back to the middle of May, he hit .255 with almost no power the final, you know, 3.5 months of the season. And since he came back from his hand injury, he's hitting .170. I think Alec Bohm tonight is and should be playing for his everyday spot. And what I mean by that is not that he sits the bench the rest of October.
Mm-hmm.
I just, if he doesn't hit tonight or he doesn't look the part, right? You know, sometimes you could hit the ball and it goes right through someone. I just mean if he has bad at-bats, if he doesn't play well tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think he then becomes just like Stott, just like Sosa, just like Marsh, just like Hayes, like he's an every other day or based on the matchup proposition. Because, Hugh, to your point of maybe he was looked at as the future, right? He was in the All-Star game this year. Earlier this season, I think we kind of put him in the same category as Harper, Turner, Castellanos, Bohm, right? They played every day, no matter what. That feels like it's a more shaky ground than it used to be.
I don't think so. I think the other day when he pulled him out and he had a little temper tantrum, he's an emotional kid.
But he's not a kid. He's 20,
well,
almost 29.
When I say that, I know that irritates you when I
it
say
does,
that.
It does, because we talk but about him still, like he's a rookie.
But he still has emotional moments. I feel like he is a part of the bigger picture when it comes to this when it comes to this Phillies team.
I'm not sure anymore. I mean, he might be. I mean, he'll probably be here next year unless they trade him away. But he's 28 years old. I can't talk about him like he's a kid anymore.
No, I mean, I get it. But he's still out there throwing temper tantrums like he's a little bit immature.
Well,
is immature better word
like
to
that.
Describe
yeah.
immature?
Yeah, he loses. Immature. It feels like he loses composure sometimes at big moments. And I understand why they want to try to get him right, because when he's right, to your
he's
point,
right.
He was an all-star. I mean, he was leading the baseball in RBI to start the season. 215-592-9494. Kyle, where do you come down on this? I mean, the Bohm thing is, it's such an interesting thing because Topper took him out so quickly into the postseason. So now it feels like, all right, well, what if he stinks tonight? Is he back in tomorrow, or is this a day-to-day proposition now? Where are you on Bohm?
So, I mean, at the very least, he's playing for his job in the NLDS, right? I mean, with so few games in the series and so few games left, they can't afford to have a guy out there who's an automatic out with one swing of the bat. I mean, let's be honest about Alec Bohm. That's what he is. And not only is he that, but he's kind of a baby. It's just bringing the rest of the team down when he goes and mopes and slams his helmet in the dugout. I can't have that around the rest of my guys who just admitted after that game that they were a little tight and needed to break out of that and get loose, and now they're feeling good. I can't have him bringing the whole team down. And then beyond that, like, they have a guy in the system that can come up and play third base eventually, maybe not next season, but eventually. And they can't go into next season with having two question marks in Boehm and Bryson Stott in the infield if they're going to be serious about contending. So I think both in the short term and in the long term, Boehm in a way is sort of playing for his job.
I think he is. I think his future here is on shaky ground now. And it's hard to ignore when you look at the numbers. Like, sometimes a great April can kind of fool you for an entire season. Look at Boehm's numbers after April. They're very, just okay. Like, just fine. Nothing special. But he had such an amazing April, beginning of May. His numbers look good for the entire season. I thought it was telling Topper took him out. He's back in there tonight. Should he be playing for his job, his starting spot? 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Driver's seat, are the Phillies in it? And what do you think about Boehm? Is he playing for his starting spot tonight? Should he be? Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's up, pal?
Of mine.
So I think the Phillies are in the driver's seat, but it's kind of like in the 70s when kids didn't have to wear seatbelts or nobody did, and the kids are in the back of the car, and the mom's trying to drive, and she's got to turn around and smack the kids, like, get back.
Oh, the good old days.
That's the Mets. Yeah, they're in the back seat, jumping up.
Me and my brother are only a year and a half apart, so we were smacked a few times because of that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I told Kyle, if the Phillies had won the first game and lost the second one, then I'd say the Mets are in the driver's seat because they've got a win and they're going back home. But I give the edge to the Phillies right now, and they're going to have to hit, and I do trust Nola. Probably going to give up two or three runs. I mean, he kind of always does. So, you know, I don't – that guy, first guy, Chuck, that called talking about spending $9,000 on the Phillies, his money would be better spent somewhere else because it would probably make him happier. He doesn't seem like a very happy fan.
He didn't. No, he seemed very – he almost seemed pessimistic about their chances here to finish this thing off. Yeah,
I do like their chances. You know, obviously, ideally – taking two up there, but that's a big ask.
It is. Now, if they get tonight, we're gonna ask that tomorrow. And Jeff, we appreciate it. It is a big ask to get both up there. If they, would you feel good about a split? I would. If they get one of the next two and get it back here for Wheeler in Game 5.
Yeah, but I want the one tonight, though. Definitely want the one tonight.
I mean, too.
Because it makes the momentum to me. The pressure. If you get the one tonight, then the pressure's back on the Mets, in my opinion. Well, so you have to get the one tonight.
Ideally, they get the one tonight, but, I mean, a split is a split no matter which way they get it.
Yep.
And you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your starting pitcher the next day.
And
we'll have Zach freaking Wheeler at home. I mean, I know that game ended, but I will take my chances with Wheeler versus the bullpen game at home a second time.
This does, I mean, the way the Phillies set it up, it is advantageous to them with the way the days off are, the way Wheeler, you know, pitched in that game one. He gets to pitch again in game five. He'll be ready for that game. I guess they'll go with Senga again in game five. We'll see if he's more built up. But, yeah, I mean, if the Phillies could get this back here in game five, like, we'll all sign up for that. Would I like to win it in four? Sure. But I'll sign up for that. Charlie's in Yardley. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, I as much as I would love to win it in four, that's just not. I don't see that happening. Like, Ranger has not inspired confidence since he came back whenever he came back from. But if you win tonight, the Mets are going to have to throw everything at you in game four. I remember some past postseason game when Smoltz was doing the commentary, he would say, oh, yeah, you have two games. Like, if you have two games left in a series, you have two games to win just one. But in reality, when you're facing elimination, that team is just going to throw everything at you. And so, especially if the Phillies win tonight, which I think they will, the Mets will throw everything at them in game four to make sure it goes back to game five.
Well, they will. I mean, they'll have to use every reliever they have. Now, there's a day off for both teams heading into game five. But, this Mets bullpen, Charlie, I felt it watching Diaz kind of fall apart in the eighth inning Sunday.
They might be leaking oil a little
bit. They're tired. Yeah, they've pitched a lot the last week. So the more we could get them into the game, even tonight, like the quicker we get Manaea out, that affects those guys tomorrow on top of it. And then, you know, obviously game five after. It's a cumulative effect for them.
Yeah, on the Boehm thing, if he doesn't show up tonight and there's a righty starter going forward, I think you have to put Cody Clemens in there. Because Cody Clemens, maybe it's just because he's coming in for Rojas and we have such little expectation for Rojas at-bats, but he always seems to put together a good at-bat in a key situation. Even when it was garbage time in game one, he drove in that run to make it 6-2. And even when it was just a little squibber in between short and third, he put together a good at-bat. He's been putting together good at-bats. If there's a righty going forward, Bohm doesn't show up tonight, Cody Clemens has to be going forward. And I have one more question for you guys, actually, before I go. How much do you really think the shadows are playing into the Phillies at-bats? Because in game one, like, they were but game two, they didn't start hitting. And I heard a few guys say it in the post-game of, like, once those shadows went away and the sun started to set, like, their offense started to get going. I mean, that's an interesting thing to keep looking at going forward, because a bunch of guys keep saying their at-bats improve as the sun goes down. Do you think there's something to that, or are they just, like making up excuses for their poor at-bats?
It's a good question, Charlie. Great phone call. We appreciate it. I do think there's something to it. Now, they got to stop saying it because no one wants to hear excuses. I mean, no one's interested in that.
In that situation, especially when the other team is dealing with the same thing.
But I do think there's something to it. I mean, you saw it in game one. The Mets also put together better at-bats in the eighth inning. Now, they were better than the Phillies in the eighth inning. They got five runs. The Phillies got one the entire game, or two. They got the Clemens run in the ninth. I do think there's something to it. Now, we'll see how the shadows affect today up in New York, today and tomorrow at 5 o'clock. I'm not sure. And I have to kind of rack my mind to think about Phillies late afternoon games in New York over the years, or ones I've seen over the years. I don't think it's as drastic as here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, game five is slated to be, what, a 4 o'clock game on Friday? I'm skeptical of that, though. That probably would require other series to go deeper.
Well, they're all 1-1.
They are all 1-1.
That doesn't help our
case. That's a good point. And I guess what would those series be on Friday? I'm trying to think, like, what games they would be in. We'll
today's the
that.
NL.
Today's the
tomorrow's
NL.
Tomorrow's probably going to be AL again.
Tomorrow's AL game three.
Yeah.
Thursday would be four.
I'll double check.
Yeah, we'll find out. But if here's my thing on it. I think if the Padres or Dodgers win the next two, the Phillies might be the only game on Friday. In that case, it would go tonight. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone call's the other side. Evan Roberts joins at 11:30 so we can learn more about this bad experience he had in Philly.
Can't wait to hear that.
Ruben Amaro on why Bohm is very, very important to the success of this Phillies lineup. We'll play it next. Your calls, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $300 in bonus bets if you win Thursday night. Give me San Francisco to win the game outright. I'll take an under on the game total and an anytime touchdown for Jordan Mays. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more this season. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner.